Welcome to the Life Church Brisbane North podcast. Life Church exists to reach and empower people. No matter where you are listening from, we pray that this message is an encouragement to you.
We're doing a series on anxious for nothing. We are a stressed bunch. Anyone who's at peace at the moment has enough toilet paper, that's all I can say. On the news last night, they had a story of two women literally physically fighting in the aisle of Coles or Woolies or something here in Brisbane for toilet paper. I have this news from the Lord today. This is the word of the Lord for you today. If we do run out of toilet paper, you will live. There are worse things. In fact, millions of people go to bed each day without ever interacting with toilet paper. So you'll be fine. But we are really stressed, aren't we? We get stressed about stuff. It's just, I'm very stressed this morning. I went to the Colour 9 to get, because I go there and go through my stuff before I come here, and they give me caffeine, and that's what it was shut today. It's not gone away, but they were moving things around. I looked up back on my phone and it said closed, open tomorrow. Well, that doesn't help me. But I got here, Eloise solved my problems, and now I'm at peace. But that was very stressful. That was a stressful moment. But really, we are very stressed. We were told that computers were going to make us less stressed, but I don't know they do, because you can never, ever get away from anybody. You know, you're contactable 24/7, no matter what you're doing. I remember when we first got to Life Church, Lee was trying to get her emails at home, which shocks you if you know Lee. It's like, wow. And of course she was. And back then we were part of the college server, and for security reasons we could only access our emails if we sat in the office. Well, I'm not sure that that's not a better plan. And to be fair, if you know, the first thing to go from my agenda is my emails. You know what I found? If people really want you, they'll just arrive in your office and ask you for a decision. So just ignore your emails, it'll be okay. But our location pastor in Central Queensland, he just ignores everything. You pick up his phone and there's 35 unanswered texts. I think, Alan, you can't do that. But he does. He's not going to die of stress. But we are an anxious bunch. And we're talking about anxious for nothing. We're talking about the peace that Jesus gives us. Today I want to talk about peace in the storm. And peace is not peace if it relies on nothing bad happening. Sometimes I think we think that God's going to keep me in peace by protecting me from anything bad ever happening. But life happens. And if that's your expectation, then when someone does something like Colour 9's not open for you, how did they do that to me? I can't believe they did that to me. But if I can have peace that actually rides above, I'm not trying to actually trivialise it, but if I can have peace in the storm, then I can really have peace. You know, I'm inspired by Paul in Philippians. You know, he's in a really, really, really difficult season, and yet his key word is rejoice. And he's in prison, even not confident that he's going to be released, and yet his key word is rejoice. His good report is, I can't preach, but other people are, so that's good. And his key word is happy. I'm really happy that the whole palace guard knows about Jesus. That just means he's doing his everyone everywhere to the person who's chained to him today. What's your name? My name's Rufus. Oh, let me tell you what happened to me on the way to Damascus. Now, Rufus is chained to Paul all day. So he just gets to listen to Paul all day. Next, what's your name? Titus. Oh, let me tell you what happened to me on the way to Damascus. What's your name? Oh, Rufus back again. Let me tell you. That's an interesting report. What I would do is I'd whinge about being chained to people. What he's doing is he's thanking God that he gets to talk to everyone about Jesus. And he writes that as an advice to us how to do tough times. I love that sense of, in everything, there's a good report. You know, we do have some trivial stress like toilet paper, but we have real stress. You know, relationship challenge and breakdown, that'll cause us some anxiety, and that makes total sense. What about a financial reversal or losing your job or a health diagnosis? I've got a friend who's going through a really, really, really difficult health journey at the moment, and he was talking to me. We went to Bunnings the other day. And he says, it's this sense that we have of being in control of our life, it's all an illusion. And it's just forced him to, his trust for Jesus has gone way up. But we, you know, we can think we've got it all, you know, we've got life by the tail until we don't. And so I'm not minimizing anxiety. While we do, I think, get really stressed about little things, I sometimes wonder if we're getting stressed about little things because we're already stressed about something else, and so we just project it onto the lack of toilet paper, which we'll all live through. And coronavirus, you know, like, you'll be good. Bird flu didn't get us. I was waiting for the retraction. You know, bird flu was going to decimate the world, and it didn't. And we're still here. See, peace in life is not the absence of challenge, but the ability to have peace in a storm. See, if I want to have peace, if I want to have real resilience, I need to be able to overcome everything. You know, there's no rugby league football player who a good game is I didn't get tackled today. I can't believe they did that. That man tried to hurt me. Yes, he did. So hurt him back. That's the... Oh, I can't believe you did that to me. Life happens. So we have to have something in us that's bigger than life that's happening at us. You know, if our faith is just that life won't, challenge won't happen, Jesus actually promised challenge. He said, in this world, you're going to have challenge, but don't worry, I've overcome the world. In other words, I'm bigger in you than the challenge you're going to face, but we are going to face a challenge. Jesus never inferred that we wouldn't have challenge, and Jesus' life was full of challenge. And he says, follow me. Jesus put the boys into storm situations multiple times. By storms, I mean he got them in a boat in the middle of the lake in the middle of a storm. It happened several times, at least twice in Matthew. And while they're literal storms, the parable's really clear. And in each one, he controls the waves. So if he controlled the weather, I reckon he could predict the weather. So I reckon he just sent the boys out into the storm. And it's a great parable that we can overcome storms in our life. It's a great parable that even in the midst of chaos and out of controlness, I can have peace. The fact is that no storms was never the plan. Jesus uses storms. Now, I never go down the track Jesus causes a storm, because that makes Jesus a bit vindictive. But I want to tell you, Jesus is using the storms. And so I want to talk today about how Jesus uses storms in our life so that we change our perspective and our perception of storms. If we have confidence that the storm's not going to take us out, we get a whole lot more confident. We get a whole lot more tenacity. So I want to read this story to you. It's in Matthew 14. There's another storm that I'll be referring to that Jesus led the boys into, recorded in Matthew 8. So we will look at some of those verses, but pretty much we're talking about Jesus in Matthew 14. Immediately after this, verse 22, might be on the screen. Thank you. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. He insisted. And after sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell and he was there alone. So it was daylight. The boys get into the thing. So it's max 5 o'clock in the afternoon, maybe six. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had arisen and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, just do the sums. They've been at this for a while. Not every storm just comes and goes. Not every storm's the 15-minute thunderstorm that comes through Brisbane. This storm, they've been trying to get across the lake now, some 5 o'clock in the evening, let's go with that, to 3 o'clock in the morning. That's like 10 hours. That's a challenge. And then meanwhile, the disciples were far away. They were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified and feared and they cried out, "It's a ghost." They thought they were looking at the other side. These people thought they were about to die and now they're looking over the edge. You know, you'd be aware of that from Pirates of the Caribbean, what that looks like when you're at sea, and that great historical document. And Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Take courage. I'm here." And Peter said, I love Peter. He like engaged his mouth long time before he engaged his head, and he did it repeatedly. And Peter says, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." Who says that? You know what? I actually think that Jesus never meant for Peter to walk on the water, But Peter said, can I walk on the water? And Jesus goes, all right, let's do that. All right, have a go. So Peter jumps out of the boat. Just think of the moment. He's in the boat. He gets on the edge of the boat and thinks, the first step's got to be the scary one. And so he gets out of the boat. And Jesus and Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. So he actually had it going on. But when he saw the strong wind and waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. In other words, he wasn't too far away from him. You have so little faith. That really discourages me. Because I reckon that's pretty spectacular what he pulled off just quietly. Why did you doubt me? Another way apparently you could translate that is your faith short term. It doesn't last long enough. It's not how much faith there is, it's how long it lasts. And they climbed back into the boat, and when they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped, and then the disciples worshipped him. You really are the Son of... In other words, they walked back to the boat, the wind is still going. Just a great story, a great event. It's like Peter would have been preaching about that forever. That's like a great story. You know, there's no stories without a storm. He's not preaching about this day we sat under a tree and boiled the billy and had got the AeroPress out and had a coffee. He's talking about walking on the water. See, Jesus uses storms. Jesus insisted they get on the boat. These disciples were in the perfect will of God, following the perfect direction of God, and they go smack bang straight into a storm. And we need to understand that a storm is not outside the will of God. God actually uses storms. And I want to talk about some winds from storms. They had not misunderstood what Jesus had said. They were not in sin. They were not in rebellion. They were doing what God told them, and they go, you're going to get some storms. No one gets in and out of this thing. There will be a storm that takes you to heaven. So no one gets out of this life alive. There is challenge in life. But in all these things, Paul says, we're more than conquerors. So when I understand that I can win in every situation, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That doesn't mean I could do all things like I could be the number one tennis player in the world. I couldn't be. And if you've seen me play tennis, you know that's the case. What it said, that the context really is I can overcome everything. I can navigate every season. Nothing is going to take me out because Christ gives me strength. Paul says, I know how to live with heaps and I know how to live hungry. It doesn't bother me either way because I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. That's the context. And context makes a difference, eh? So Jesus uses storms. Storms aren't punishment. How many times have I found myself saying to God or to myself or to the world when things are tough, is God angry with me? Am I in trouble? Are you punishing me, God? Well, Jesus didn't have to punish you anymore because he was punished for you. Do you understand? The cross changed everything. So Jesus, you know, when Jesus has that woman who's caught in adultery brought to him, I love that. It's in John chapter 8. The only person, by the way, who ever speaks to that woman is Jesus. Everyone just talked about that woman. That's for free. But at the end of it, he concludes with, neither do I condemn you. Why did he not have to condemn her? Because he was about to be condemned as her. So he didn't need to condemn her because that's what the cross did. You know, in another storm, the disciples wake Jesus with the words, don't you care. The storm in Matthew 8, Jesus is asleep in the boat. So this is a different storm, a previous storm. And Jesus is asleep in the boat. I don't think he was asleep because I think in those little boats in a storm, it'd be very hard to stay asleep. But Jesus is feigning sleep. That's what I reckon. Just like, because he's chilled. Because he's got peace in the storm. And the disciples wake him up and said, don't you care, we're going to drown. Which I think, how often have I woken Jesus up with, don't you care? But Jesus, you don't care. Don't you care? Don't you care that I've got this? Don't you care that colour 9 is closed? Don't you care? Don't you care that the Woolies is out of toilet paper? Don't you care? Don't you care that my relationship's... Don't you care that I've lost my job? Don't you care that I've got this diagnosis? Well, I want to tell you, Jesus does care. And regardless of the storm that you're facing today, Jesus cares for you. And they wake Jesus up and he just calms the storm and they're pretty gobsmacked by that. But look at this. This is Psalm 18. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my saviour. God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, my place of safety. You don't need a fortress unless you've got a storm of some sort. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong fortress. The godly, that means people who are doing life with God, run into him and are safe. We need to understand Jesus is for us. Jesus uses storms and we're never alone in the storm. In Isaiah 43 says, when you go, not if you go, but when you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. Jesus is with us. Jesus came to them walking on the storm. You know, if we see Jesus as absent or against us when we're in storms, he becomes the enemy rather than our Savior. So he becomes the problem. And so we run from him when really what we need to be doing is running to him. Jesus came to them walking on the storm. I love that. Jesus is walking on your storm. Doesn't matter how big the storm is, he's walking on the storm. Now, how do you walk on a storm? So we think of Jesus walking like this, but the waves are going up and down. So I reckon he's climbing up the waves, surfing down the waves. It's just walking on the storm. That just says the storm's not facing Jesus. He doesn't need it. He's like, oh, well, I'll come back when it's all calmed down. No, he's just walking on your storm. I like in Isaiah, it says, those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They'll mount up on wings like eagles. Well, eagles, literally to escape a storm, just go and fly above it and fly around. A friend of mine used to fly Hornet jets for the Air Force, and he nearly hit an eagle over Northern Territory at 25,000 feet. So you don't normally think of birds above 1,000 feet. They can get up there and they can soar. And Jesus is there. He's just walking on this storm. And regardless of the storm we're facing, it hasn't taken Jesus off guard, and there's not like he can't do anything. He can do anything, and he's walking on your storm. And the thing is, he comes to us walking on our storm. He empowers us to walk on our storm. I don't know if you're aware of it, it's a story about King David is about to become king. There's been a prophecy that he's going to be king. This is in Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 17. He's just been anointed as king. He's just a young shepherd boy. And then he goes, his dad sends him to the battlefront, and there's this battle with the Philistines, which is another army, and there's this champion that they used to have. You know, think of Troy and big champions and all of that sort of stuff, and the champion would come out and challenge people. And David gets there. He's only a young lad, and he's just full of confidence and volunteers to go and fight the giant, even though he's not a military man, and it's an extraordinary story. We all love it. David takes out the giant with a slingshot, gets a rock into this guy's head, and then goes and chops his head off with his own sword. But David's confidence in the midst of that storm is inspirational to all of us. And the giant says to David, he says, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And he goes, no, I'm not. I've come at you. You come at me with a sword and a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God, whose armies you have defied. And then he prophesies the destruction of the giant. But we need to understand that that giant wasn't there to take David out. That giant, that opportunity was to catapult David into the palace. It was the direct result of that. David ended up in the palace. And so our storms, they can take us out, or they can catapult us to a much more power. I believe the storm that this brilliant couple went through, and we're talking about today with Evelyn, while it was extraordinarily difficult and there's still pain associated with that, it established some tenacity and some resilience and some credibility in this couple, which is part of the catapult into all that God's going to do for them and do with them and do through them. Jesus uses storms because storms increase our sense of urgency. It's amazing how you can sit here and think, there's nothing that our God can't do. If there's nothing you need, that's just a lovely song. I just don't know why they... I'd like to repeat that line again. Maybe a key change there would be nice. But when you're in a storm, those words take on a whole other meaning. It's no longer just, there's nothing that our God can't do. I think it's chicken for dinner. I think that, I forgot to take the washing in. Oh, no, it looks like some rain. There's nothing that our God... But when you're in a storm, your urgency is a whole lot different. No longer are you going, nothing that I got. Four songs today. You know, when you're that song, I need you, all I need you is never more true. When you're in storm. When David's running to the giant, that one I was just talking about before, he wasn't saying, God, when you're ready. He was saying, God, this is the time. Any time. He's running. This is the thing. I remember I was in a crisis and I was praying and I was very... It's easy to be diligent in prayer when it's really like... Oh, and I'm praying, and a thought did occur to me, you probably should pray like this more often, Jeff. Because what had happened is I'm saying, God, take away the storm, and Jesus goes, well, I'm not so sure about that. You know, talk to me normally. It's like, we get to hang out a lot more when you've got a storm. Let's just keep the storms going. It's like, wait, all of a sudden my sense of urgency, I really need you, Jesus. I really need you like now. Not like next year, like not when you're ready. I'm not saying, oh God, in your time. I'm saying the time's now. And Jesus goes, oh, not yet. Like I reckon the boys would have been saying, why isn't Jesus here? Because they've seen him deliver before, and Jesus is praying for 10 hours. And they're thinking, we're going to... He said, you'll be good. Just keep paddling. You'll be right. I'll be there soon. Because Jesus knew the storm wasn't going to take him out. Jesus uses storms because storms make us realise we're dependent. Mate, it's easy for me to think I've got life by the tail until I don't. And then I realise, oh, Jesus, I need you. I actually really, really need you. And the thing is, we always need Jesus, but sometimes we've got this illusion of control. And but you know what? Life's really short. There was a time before my dad was born. My dad lived a really great life, and now he's not here, and the world carries on. And, you know, the Bible calls life a vapor. And so we are so dependent on Jesus. Where, you know, the Bible likens us to wildflowers. You just bloom up and then we just disappear. We need Jesus. We think, you know, because we've got our superannuation and we've got all the things happening, we can sometimes fool ourselves that we really need Jesus. And a storm reminds me of that. You know, in the storm they say, I need you now. I love watching Bondi Rescue. I like watching tourists be rescued by the lifeguards. And one thing that amazes me is sometimes the person rescued doesn't look much less fit than the person who rescued them. But in that environment, this Bondi man, he could swim to the next beach and then just keep going. These guys can't do the 10 metres between where they are and where they need to be so they can stand up. I just think that's hilarious. But you know, when the person's waving their hand, they're not going, look, I'd just like a hand. When you've sorted all those people, just any time it suits you, I'll just wait for you here. They're going, no, I could be dead in a minute, so perhaps if you could come now, that would be good. And there's a high sense of urgency. That when the lifeguard gets there, they don't go, oh, g'day, how you doing? It's like, oh, thank God you're here. And you see them drag them up. They grab them by the hair, which would be awkward for me. I might just slip through his grasp and disappear under the ocean. But there's a great sense of dependence. I really need you. I remember one time on Bondi Rescue, a whole bunch of people had been swept out. So they ended up with three different groups of people all holding onto boogie boards or whatever, and with the lifeguard with each of them just drifting out to sea. And then the rubber boats literally doing laps to bring these people back. And at the end of the day, there's just the cameraman there and one lifeguard. And he turns around and there's the lifeguard. You can see the beach like way over there. And then then the lifeguard's there and he's just... Because no one's coming to get him. And it's like 2 kilometres out to sea. I'll see you when you get back. And I'm thinking maybe the cameraman's going to do the same thing. But he's not dependent, but the people I had rescued were dependent. We need to realise we are dependent on God. And a storm makes me realise, Jesus, I need you. I actually need you. And you know, if we're going to reach everybody everywhere, and all of a sudden our vision is not just about making it through the day but making a difference, then we need Jesus. I love that everybody everywhere. I think, who do I reach? Oh, everybody. Where do I go? Everywhere. It's fantastic. Everybody everywhere. And you're in and everywhere. You walk into your workplace, you need Jesus to guide you. Eloise and Ben were meeting all the neighbours for our new... How good exciting is that new building? I'm so pumped for that. And we do need to build some toilets and do some stuff, and we'll be working on that building for a while, but we've just got it's just going to be a game changer for us here. And they were out meeting the neighbours and talking about how we're starting with our job club, which is so good because we're doing something that makes sense right from the beginning. And just, well, that's a God encounter. It's an opportunity for a God encounter. They would have done well to pray about that and to be praying while they were doing that, because ultimately we're dependent on God. We have this illusion of control until the storm hits. These boys were experienced sailors. If they weren't all experienced sailors, there was definitely some there that were experienced. In fact, the first person to get out of the boat was probably one of the most experienced sailors. And you think, this boat's not doing anything good for me. I think you seem to be doing good out there. I'm going there. And it just reminds us that we actually are totally dependent. You know, every single miracle happens in a storm. You want a story? Then embrace a storm. You know, there's no gripping novel about the accountant and the balanced ledger. We don't read gripping novels about latte with the girls. We don't do that. The things that you want a story, it's going to be a storm. You want a miracle. You know, people say, oh, I just wish an angel would appear. You don't want an angel to appear for you. Angels appeared with shocking news. I know you're a really good girl, but you're going to be an unmarried mother. It's going to be fantastic. You know, we think that other people may have struggled to believe that. Joseph didn't believe that. Because she would have come to hit Joseph. This is her, you know, Mary and Joseph we're talking about, mother of Jesus, and said, an angel appeared to me and now I'm pregnant. And he would have gone, yeah, good one. I'm just going to try and make you disappear, but I don't want to humiliate you, because that could actually be physically dangerous for her. I just want to make this go away. And then the same angel turned up to Joseph and says, it's all good. And he's going, really? Every miracle happens in a storm. You want a miracle? You want a life of miracles? I've heard people come, you know, people come and preach to us about some miracles in their world. Oh, I want a life like that. Do you really? Want a testimony? Get ready for a storm. Jesus uses storms because peace in the storm always precedes peace after the storm. We can say to Jesus, Lord, stop the storm so I can have peace. And Jesus says, well, have peace now. Jesus reaches out to Peter and says, why did you have so little faith? And they walk back to the boat. He gets back in the boat and he goes, oh, I'll stop the storm now. So he didn't stop the storm, rescue Peter, get in the boat. He rescued Peter, walked to the boat, stopped the storm. He was never fazed. He was asleep in the storm before because he was at peace. And we need to understand that Jesus is offering, what we're talking about is peace before the storm stops. Our peace is not conditional on our circumstance. The state of the storm does not determine our peace. If it does, then I am at the whim of everything. You know, the media, they don't want to inform you. They just want to keep you angry and afraid. That's the deal, because angry and afraid people access the media. It's just selling a product to us. But we don't have to be angry or afraid because we have Jesus. You may be in a storm, but you're not alone. The storm demands your attention, but it's not the main thing. The main thing is the power of Jesus. See, the storm, it's hard to sort of, you know, if I say to you, don't think about elephants with big grey ears, that's like a bit of an illustration. But if the elephant was currently charging at you bellowing, it's even harder to not think about elephants. And when we've got a storm, it's not like, oh, I think about apples, yeah, but the apples are, you know, like falling on your head. It's like the storm threatens our very existence. It just demands our attention. And peace in the storm requires us to be able to take our eyes off the storm and put on something else. But Peter started to sink when he took his eyes off Jesus, put his eyes on the storm. The storm had always been there. So Jesus distracted him from the storm and he focused on Jesus. And then he took his eyes off Jesus and back onto the storm. And Jesus said, why do you have so little faith? That was the lack of faith thing. He started to look at the storm. And how often when there's a storm going on? And even my prayer can be full of fear. I'm just spending all my whole time trying to get Jesus' attention. And Jesus, don't you realize this is really scary? Like, I don't think you understand. You don't seem very stressed. I'm stressed. The reason you don't understand and the reason that you're not stressed is because you don't understand and you don't care. And I'm stressed. And Jesus, you know, I'm stressed. And Jesus is going to just chill out. It's like the Jedi's. You know, halfway through the fight, they just sort of get this little Jedi moment. Because they've got peace. The gospel according to Star Wars. My son said to me once when he was much younger, do you think there's somewhere where the force actually works? No, Samuel. I don't think there's anywhere the force works. Oh. So Jesus is offering us peace in the storm. That's why Jesus could offer peace the night he was betrayed. He knew he was going to be crucified the next day, and he says to the boys, peace I give to you.
We hope you enjoyed this message. Life Church is one church in multiple locations. To find out more about Life Church and our online and location-based services, visit us at www.lifechurch.com.au.